Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. Welcome and happy Veterans Day to all you veterans out there listening in from around the country. And we hope everyone is doing well. I celebrated a birthday this week, so I'm another year older and grateful for every day of life that I have. That's why we call this show Alive to Thrive, because every day we should be thriving and not just having a survival mentality. My guest today is someone who I met at our store at Butterfly and Moon in historic St. Charles. Came in one day. She has written some children's books and has a recent chapter coming out this month in a Chicken Soup for the Soul book called Angels and Miracles. And we'll be talking a little bit about writing and the process, but also just following your passion and following your dreams. So, want to welcome to Alive to Thrive Peggy Archer of Missouri. Peggy actually came from Indiana originally, grew up in Gary, Indiana, and went to nursing school and became a registered nurse and was a pediatric nurse taking care of kids. So she has a lot of experience being around children and having children, and we want to hear about how she became a children's book author. So welcome, Peggy.
Oh, thank you very much, Brenda, and belated happy birthday also.
Thank you. So tell us about, you know, you worked with kids as a nurse, and, you know, what were some of the challenging situations you saw, you know, as a nurse firsthand, working with, I assume, all ages?
All ages of children and also with adults. If you work in a smaller town, we were only an hour from Chicago and a couple of hours from Indianapolis, where they had more critical patients for pediatrics for children. And so where I worked, we would get, you would get your children coming in, babies coming in the wintertime with croup, and in the summertime you slowed down a little bit and you had children came in with fractures or, you know, different injuries and things like that mostly. If they were really critical, they would send them to Chicago or Indianapolis usually. So that kind of worked for me too. So, but I really enjoyed working with the kids, and you also work with the parents and helping them to understand things and how to care for their kids and what to do once they go home can be kind of scary. And I know that from my own experience as well. So, and when we didn't have kids, sometimes we didn't have any kids there at all. So then I worked with adults also. But I just always, my favorite was working with children. And I also worked in the school, the school kids. I loved that. The kids were great. You know, you had certain kids that would come in pretty often for medications or treatments, but I loved working with the kids, though.
So with when kids are in the hospital, I mean, do they have access to books and toys and things to entertain them because, you know, they don't probably have iPhones or you probably aren't interested in television or the newspaper as such. So how do you keep kids occupied when they're healing?
Well, absolutely. We have books and we have toys there. But lots of books donated and toys that are donated at Christmas time and different times of the year also. And so we do have a lot to keep them busy. And once they're feeling better or if they're there for something where they don't really feel bad but they need to be there for some other reason, you know, then they need something to do. And sometimes you have maybe oxygen in the room and they really can't use the electronics. So that's, you know, that's another thing to think about too. But oh yeah, absolutely. We had things like that for the kids to do and lots of books.
And so I know like there's a program here in Missouri called Kids, Friends of Kids with Cancer, and they do big toy drives and keep some cabinets and closets stocked at the hospitals with things. Did they have something like that up there in Indiana?
It's been a little while since I worked. It's been about 5 or 6 years. But we had a room where we had a lot of different, we had some equipment, but we also had cabinets full of things that the kids might enjoy. And so sometimes we just go back there and explore. We, you know, try and think of something for that particular child who was there and, you know, needed something and look for something that we knew that they would like. So we did have access to that. I'm sure not the same as with a bigger hospital, but we did have some of that too.
I understand that you started out first with poetry. It's pretty funny little story on your website. I want to give that out to our listeners, peggyarcher.com. That's PeggyArcher.com. And she's also on Facebook, but her bio's on her website, and you can read that. But I thought it was interesting that because you were so busy with weddings and having a new puppy that you thought you'd maybe just start with poetry, and poetry was short and you could just jot down some thoughts, and you found out that writing poetry was harder than it looked. Can you
talk
about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, that was. Well, I really, I started writing for children back when I had only 5 children at the time. I have 6 altogether. And I started out writing around, late 70s, early 80s, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was, you know, my education was in nursing, and but I loved to read, and I had always liked, you know, writing little things down and stories when I was younger. And I had written some poetry at that time, but I decided my poetry wasn't very good. I had one poem published in a children's magazine early on, but I just wasn't happy with my poetry, and I sort of gave up on it, and then I continued to write fiction for kids. And then when we had our dog, who, you know, at the time was a puppy, she was just so funny. She did these hilarious things, and you just had to laugh. And at the time, I had 2 children who were getting married in the same year. It was 3 months apart, and I wanted to write all these things down about our dog, Snickers, and I just didn't have all the free time. And I thought, oh, well, if I write it in poetry, at least I'll remember the idea of what I want to write about. And I told myself, you know, it doesn't have to be good poetry, it can be bad poetry, just as long as I remember what I was thinking about. And so I started writing poems. And I couldn't stand it that the poems were so terrible. And so it got me started trying to learn how to write better poetry. And I read a lot. I read everything I could about writing poetry. And I read books of poetry for children and books by children's poets. And as I kept trying, my poetry got better. And so that was a huge accomplishment, and I owe that to my dog. when Name That Dog came
with you?
When Name That Dog came out, it was, most of that book is about my dog, Snickers. It was very much inspired by her.
Is she still living?
She's not. She's not. Aww. I felt kind of bad because she passed away in November, and this book came out in the following spring. So she, you know, and kids, I was surprised. I was not going to bring the issue up of whether she had passed away or whether she was still with me. And I was very surprised that when I spoke to children in schools or libraries, they would ask me, is your dog still alive? And it just surprised me. So I tell them, you know, you have to be, you know, upfront with it. No, she's not. But I tell them that because I wrote this book, she's still alive in this book. And so I try and tell the kids that if they have a pet, maybe they should write about their own pet. Because
that's a good idea, and I think
yeah.
It's good because it brings up the subject that, you know, our pets and our family and friends are
yeah.
not always going to be here, but they can stay alive in the writing. And you
yeah.
know, I love that you called your book "The Dog Made Me Do It." That's kind of a cute little catchphrase, but and you have some pictures there. But to keep memory of the animal alive in your writing, and so your first picture book was "Toad in the Road." And that won the 2015 Society of Children's Writers and Illustrators Award for Work in Progress. What does that mean? Well, tell us about that award and tell us a little bit about that book.
Okay. Well, Toad in the Road will be published by Schwartz and Wade in the spring of 2018. And it's not my first book out. My very first book was called One of the Family. But Toad in the Road received an award for Work in Progress by the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And for short, it's SCBWI, the initials. And so last year, I had completed that book. And they once a year, they have awards for different categories in children's writing. And one of them is for children's picture book text. Toad in the Road was my very first picture book in verse. And so in that way, it's a first. And I had written it and rewritten it. You do all these revisions over and over and over, and worked really hard on the verse and everything. And I had taken it then to my critique groups, and my critique groups, you know, would tell me if something didn't sound right or if something didn't seem to be in place. And that is so, so helpful. And so then I did send it in for the award. You know, I've done this before and I've never won anything before, but for me it's a good discipline because you have to get it ready. You have to get it polished. You have to follow rules and things like that. So I sent it in not thinking anything more about it because I'm more used to rejections for those kinds of things and for having books, accepted also. And so I was really surprised to hear that that it did win this award for Work in Progress. So out of all of the entries that people send in from all over the country and also out of the country, because SCBWI is an international group for children's writers and illustrators, and it did win the award for this. Now, I didn't receive any money for this, but what they did was they took the winning entries and they put them on a private secure website, and then they invited editors to come and visit that website and to read these winning entries. And it's very difficult sometimes to submit to the trade publishers, the bigger publishers, because they're closed, they don't accept submissions unless you have an agent. And so unless you have an agent, which is also not easy to get sometimes, then you don't really have access to these editors and submitting your stories. That's another thing that's helpful about belonging to SCBWI and going to their conferences, because when an editor or an agent speaks at a conference and you attend that conference, you can also submit your manuscript to them for maybe a few months after the conference. But so this was placed on their website for the editors to look at. And the editor from or the publisher from Schwartz and Wade emailed me right away, and she said she was interested in Toad in the Road. And it's just been really wonderful working with them. So I'm very excited. It's very hard to wait because
that's a long time.
It is.
Is other books in the queue ahead of you?
Yes, this is the one that's coming up next. Is that what you're asking?
Just that it. Why does it take, you know, a year and a half or 2 years to get it published? From once they've accepted the manuscript and say yes.
Yeah, that's a very common question. And what happens is, Ann Schwartz was interested in this manuscript, and she, made an offer on it and everything. And then, then after that, she assigned me to an editor, which was Annie Kelly, who was wonderful. I loved working with her. And the editors always, no matter how much they like your manuscript, they always seem to have suggestions that could help make it a little bit better, a little bit tighter. And so I do the edits, and that didn't take too long. And then they do find an illustrator. And the illustrator has to go through and take their time in doing their sketches. They start out with sketches, and they submit those to the publisher, to the art director, and then they work with the art director the same way that the author works with an editor. And they do sketches, and then they get those approved, and then they do the color pictures, and then once all of that is final, they usually take about a year, it seems. And after that, then of course they put the book together and they have it printed and they send it out for reviews ahead of publication. So it takes at least a couple of years usually for a picture book because of all the artwork and everything.
Yeah. Now, are the majority of children's book authors women, do you think?
I
noticed a lot of the pictures of the people in your critique groups are women. Are most of the, do you know, statistically, is it mostly women that write children's books?
Yeah, I'm not sure statistically, but there are a lot of women who are in critique groups, and but we have, you know, we have some men also, and the same thing at conferences. It's the majority are women, and I'm not sure why that is. If it's time availability or if it's something else, but there are some men who are some very good picture book authors or illustrators also. I think, you know, there are a lot of men that do artwork too. I wish I had an answer for that. That'd be something good to
I was just curious.
Research.
So let's talk about critique group, because this is something that has provided a lot of support and feedback, critical feedback as well as friendships. Talk about the groups you're in, and did you first start with an online group or did you first start with an in-person group?
Okay, I think that that's a good question. I think that having a critique group is one of the best things that you can do if you have aspirations to write for children. And I mostly know about picture books because I don't write novels or chapter books. And but, you know, you mentioned the friendships that you form. Oh, the friendships are, you know, so important. But the critiques, it's a group of people who are dedicated to writing well and writing good books for children. And we have the same goal, and we all go to conferences, not all the same conferences, or we do market research. We share so much of that. And when we share the manuscript, you get an honest feedback from people who are in the same place that you are, pretty much. We're not all in the same level all the time, but we're all working toward the same goal. And And we're all studying and learning about what works and what doesn't work. And so all of that, you know, helps so much with having another set of eyes and several sets of eyes looking at what you're working on. And it helps so much in the revisions and the rewriting. Sometimes it's not always what we want to hear either. So it's a good idea to not to think about it for, you know, a few days or even longer, because your immediate reaction may not be the one you end up with, you know, the way you think about it and the way you react to some of the advice or suggestions that you get. As far as how I started out with a critique group, it was sort of by accident. I was writing some stories way back in the beginning, and I had gone into the library, and on this particular day I had picked out the Writer's Market book. And now they have a Children's Writers and Illustrators Market book, and that is an excellent resource for marketing and also has good articles in the book by authors and illustrators who have you know, things to say and advice to give. But you can find where to send your manuscript once you have it ready. And so this was early on. I had gone into the library, and when I was checking out, it so happened that the lady checking me out, the librarian, was in a critique group for writers. And so she asked me, you know, she looked at what I was checking out, and she ended up inviting me to their meeting, which was that night. And it's also very good to have support from your family. So I went home and I told my husband about this. And at the time, we had these five very young children who were elementary school and younger. And I said, I don't think I'm going to go, though, because I just don't have time. And he said, well, why not? You know, and I said, well, you know, I have to get dinner ready and I have to feed the kids. And he said, well, I can do that. And so I said, well, they need baths and everything. You know, that's a lot. And he said, I can give them baths. So my husband has always been such a big supporter of my writing, and it's wonderful to have that. So I did go to that meeting, and I have friends that I met there that I'm still friends with and still in contact with. That group was a group for adult writers as well as children's writers, and there were only a few of us that wrote for children. And it doesn't take too long to realize that writing for an adult and writing for children in a lot of ways is very different. And so some of the advice that I did get was kind of opposite of what you would hear about writing for children. Something like maybe someone would say, oh, you need to add more description and describe that. And when you write picture books are very short. And so describing things it takes up a lot of time, takes up a lot of words. And you can, because you have illustrations, you can show in your words instead of telling somebody that your character is happy, you can say, oh, they clapped their hands and jumped up in the air or something. You know, that's probably not a very good example. But you can show things in dialogue and in action more than just describing it. And some of the things that they would suggest describing were things that would be in the illustrations. And so a few of us got together, and we decided we were going to start our own group of critique group for children's writers. And if you're writing for children, that is the best place to be, is in a children's writers critique group, because you understand each other's a little bit better. You're writing... Mm-hmm. is different when you write picture books, especially, but when you write for children, it's different many ways.
Did you take any classes? What part of the craft did you want to learn more about, the publishing part or the creative part or the the business part, because there's also the business of being a writer and keeping track of your expenses and things like that.
Yes, absolutely. And those are things that you learn just over the years. But the business side of it, I have no interest in that very much, but it doesn't matter. You have to be aware of that too. But I enjoy the creative part of it. I enjoy writing and just making it better, and I enjoy words, and I've enjoyed, you know, where my poetry has taken me also for children. But you have to know some of the other part of it too, especially if you don't have an agent. I did learn when I had my first books, not so much my first book, but my second and third books published, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't doing something wrong with my taxes. So we did get a good tax person who understands writing, and that's been a huge help. So I don't have to worry about that too much. And as far as the submission part of it, that takes a lot of time away from your creative side, from your actual writing. And I've done that over so many years. What helps me is when I go to conferences and I meet editors and I meet agents and I meet authors who are published, because I learn so much from them, not only in what they have to say in their talks, but when you talk to people in between times. And so I've had some markets open up to me by going to conferences. A Turkey Surprise, which is a Thanksgiving book, and I met the editor at two different conferences. And then some years after that, I had this manuscript that I wanted to submit, and I saw in a newsletter for children's writers that this editor was looking for humorous picture books. And I thought, well, I guess Turkey Surprise is funny. So I sent her a letter, reminded her that we had met at the conferences, and told her that I had seen she was looking for humorous picture books. And so I sent this to her, and she liked it. And that led the way to that book getting published. And then it also
so
helped
very good
getting...
Follow-up. I mean, everyone meets people that can dramatically change the course and trajectory of their path.
Yes.
And I think what you've done very well is to follow up on each and every encounter. And like someone referred you to me, and you were very consistent and diligent. Can you talk about the importance of being organized and consistent and believing in your dream and not getting distracted with other things that life throws at you?
Yeah, that's hard sometimes for people, because there are people in our lives who tell us, oh, you're not good at that, or you shouldn't do that, you should do this instead. And you have to really have that conviction, you have to have that desire. And not only that, you need to believe in yourself. And it's wonderful that I have a husband and a family that is so supportive. My husband's just been wonderful, you know, in so many ways with this. And so he's a great fan, you know, but if you don't have that, somehow you have to get that from within yourself, I think. And I think you have to open your eyes and be open to receiving, you know, to seeing the positive things. And I think if you have a critique group, that's going to be part of your support group right there also. But you really do have to not listen to those people who tell you, oh, you shouldn't do that, or, you know, you're not good at that. If you really believe that you can be good at it and you work at it, because there is a lot of work, you know, that's involved also. It's not going to come if you write something one time and you think, oh, this is a great story that I wrote. I think you have to realize that it's going to take more work than that. Even if you have something that's good, it usually can be better. And you just have to keep at it, you know. But that belief in yourself and, you know.
That is so important. And so what are some of the books you've read for more motivation as opposed to the business of writing? You know, are there any authors or do you meditate or do you have a certain mantra? You know, how do you stay spiritually charged and who inspires you?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm inspired by my family. I'm inspired by my grandkids and my kids, you know, in the past, my kids and even now. But also besides that, you know, I am a Catholic and I go to church and I think that that's very important. And to me in my life, that's made a huge difference. Outside of those things which are the most important in my life, other authors have been wonderful. I think that children's authors and illustrators are the nicest people in the world. You know, for the most part, I just, you know, they're just so willing to share. And one of the things that really impressed me so much in the very beginning when I started out was that these authors are published. You would think that maybe they would be, you know, competitive, that they would be worried about sharing too much information because, you know, they're competing for their spot. But that's not the way it is. They open themselves up. They share what they know. They even will tell you, look at this market. You know, they'll give you particular things to look at that's going to help you. And I think that the market for children's books is very overwhelmed, and so you do have to write well, and there's room for, you know, for a lot of people in this business, you know, but there are so many authors that inspire me. When I moved from Indiana out here to Missouri, as far as my writing goes, one of the first things I did was I looked up SCBWI Missouri because there's chapters in every state or there some states are combined. And right now, as of January, Missouri and Kansas are combining into one chapter. But contacting the SCBWI group in the area that you live opens up doors to you. I found where there were conferences to attend, where there were some free events to attend. I always seem to get my finger in there to volunteer and help out. And when you do that, that even opens more doors because you're up close and personal with some of the speakers that they have. And, you know, you just learn so much. Inspiration, I don't know. I know people who have, I guess we all get writer's block at some point or other. I seem to never lack for ideas, but maybe I just notice things more. And it could be that that's part of the nursing side of me because nurses have to be quite organized. Otherwise, you'd never get anywhere with your job. And so you notice all kinds of little things. It's part of what you do. And so maybe that carries over into my writing, too.
Very detail-oriented. Yeah, you got to be very exact because if you make a mistake on one little number, it could be life and death.
Yeah.
A lot of precision. And yet children's book, the world of children's writing, seems sort of a lighter, not as heavy emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
A lighter spirit. It's kind of like with our jewelry making. I worked in nonprofits all my life, raising money and working and worrying about causes and changing the world. And, you know, it was all very heavy, heady stuff. And then making the jewelry is just another way to bring joy into the world. And I think your books bring so much joy into the world. So let's talk about where people can get your books. I assume they can buy them online. Can they buy them from your website?
I don't market them on my website, but they can buy them at bookstores. They can buy them online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores, which are wonderful. And right there down the street from you, Main Street Books. Pretty much anybody that sells books, they wouldn't necessarily carry them in the store, but they would be able to order them if someone didn't find them in the store. I know stores are limited in what they can carry, just about anywhere like that. But I do not carry them on my website. It's another business side, and I'm sure that you enjoy that with your store, which is really wonderful. And I've seen your jewelry, and it is beautiful. I love it. But I'm just not a business person. I would probably go broke if I tried to do that. It's not a good side for me.
Yeah, okay. So, again, we're speaking with Peggy Archer, A-R-C-H-E-R, author, children's book author. She has a website, peggyarcher.com. She has a lot of great resources on her website, in addition to information about critique groups, but recommended reading for writers. So books for children's writers and illustrators. So if this is a field that you're interested in pursuing for yourself, if you always thought you'd have a story inside of you you'd like to share with kids or teenagers, there's a lot of great resources. So you can start reading these and start learning about the industry. And then there's publications and organizations that you can join where you can attend conferences and start putting yourself in the environment. I like this one, Write for Kids, so WRITE, the number 4kids.com. They're out of Fort Collins, Colorado, and that's a monthly publication. And so, you know, if this is something you've thought about, it's never too late to explore, and you never know. I think we all have stories within us. You know, we can pass all those little life lessons on that we've learned to the next generation. And, you know, some people have grandchildren and some people don't. Like for myself, I don't have children. And so there are stories I'd like to pass on and share. Let's talk about your new chapter coming out this month in Angels and Miracles. I love the title of that. I love the Chicken Soup books. We have some other Chicken Soup for the Soul books at Butterfly and Moon over there in historic St. Charles. Tell us about the chapter you wrote and about the book in general. And hopefully maybe we can carry that book at our store, but tell us about the chapter you wrote.
Okay, well, this was really really kind of a different thing for me because I don't usually write for adults. I have written some things for writers, for adults who are writers writing for children, but this was just something really different. The story that I wrote is called Double Exposure, and this is going to date me, but back when it was something that happened back when you took pictures on a camera where you had to load the film into the camera, and then when you were finished with the roll of film, you would take it to the drugstore, and you wouldn't see the picture until that film was developed. And so you would go to the drugstore then and pick up your pictures and bring them home, and you would get negatives as well as the pictures. So, but the story was something that was that really had touched me very much. My mother had passed away in December, and then the following May, our youngest daughter was making her first Holy Communion, which in the Catholic Church is a big celebration and something very important. And I was feeling a little bit bad because I thought, oh, this is the only one of all the kids that Mom didn't get to come and see and be part of. And so when the last time my mom was out was here at our house in Indiana at Thanksgiving time, and she'd spent a lot of time sitting in this one particular rocking chair in the living room that was, you know, comfortable and soft, and we took a lot of pictures. And then in the spring when we had our first Holy Communion celebration, we took a lot of pictures, and I went to the drugstore and I brought home a picture of the pictures from the communion, and I opened them up, and the first picture I looked at was a picture of my mother sitting in the chair and my daughter in her communion dress sitting on the arm of that chair. And it...
Take your breath away when there's those signs. There are so many signs all around us, and some people are open to them and some aren't. But I think those of us that are spiritually awakened and have had some experiences in life are more attuned to that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you just have to have your eyes open to these things, but that one you couldn't miss, you know. So that's what my story in the book is about. And I started reading some of the other stories, and they're just beautiful stories, too. I love the Chicken Soup for the Soul stories. They just always kind of make you feel, you know, something very, very much. And I really do love those. But when I submitted, so I wrote this story a long time ago, actually, and I sent it in to as a submission to Chicken Soup for the Soul back in March of 2015. And I never heard anything from them. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, usually if you don't hear anything within a few months, then they're not interested in it. So I never heard anything until August of 2016. And then I got this email saying that my story was among the finalists for this book. And in September, they told me that it had made the final, you know, it was going to be in the book. It made the final cut, and that the book would be published November 1st. And so this was just such a quick thing, but it was wonderful. And so it just makes me, you know, I'm just very happy to have that in there as something that's a tribute to not only, you know, my family, but also to believing in, you know, being open to these kind of signs and things. Messages.
Yeah, so there's so many chicken books, chicken soup for the soul books. How do people apply or audition or submit for consideration their writing for a book, and how do you find out what titles or themes they're going to be publishing?
Okay, well, they have their own website, and it's I think if you Google Chicken Soup for the Soul, you would find their website, and they post on there what they're looking for. And usually there are several themes that they're looking for. And so usually, you know, if you have a story that's close to your heart, you can find someplace like that, you know, someplace where it will fit in. And if not, then wait until they put their, you know, added themes on there, because they've always got themes that they're looking for, stories for. And then you just follow the directions online. That's how I did it.
So just to give it to everyone, chickensoup.com. That's chickensoup.com.
Let me see if I can. I think it's Chicken Soup for the Soul.
I Googled that, and then chickensoup.com came up, and it's the Chicken Soup for the Soul website.
Mm-hmm.
And it says
It
has all categories, pets and TV and film. And So this looks like this is it. And they have a Facebook and Twitter, of course, and Instagram. So great idea for Christmas books, Christmas gifts. They have one coming out, The Joy of Christmas. So your book is now available. Do you have a copy of it now?
I do, and I will bring one by, and you know, and we'll talk about that too.
We'll read that. So where are you going to be speaking in the next month or two?
Okay, well, next week, the St. Charles Library System has a local author open house. And they do this once a year, usually in November, sometime before Thanksgiving. But they have over 100 St. Charles area authors that are going to be there with their books, and they will be autographing and selling their books. And I will be there also, and I will have some copies of this Angels and Miracles Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And I will have my children's books. I'll have Name That Dog and a couple of my other children's books there also. But it's really, I've done this, I think, since I've moved out here, so in the last 5 years. And it's just kind of a really neat, exciting thing, especially if you like books. And who wouldn't like books, right? But it's not only for children's books, but it's also for adults. And sometimes if it's an anthology, like a Chicken Soup for the Soul book, there may be more than one author there signing. And so you can get more than one signature in the book that if you, you know, decide that you want to buy one. And then Saturday Writers has an anthology with a number of local authors who are published in that book also. And I know some of those authors are going to be there. There are some other great children's authors who will be there. So come on down. That is on Thursday, November 17th. And it's from 6 to 8 p.m., and it's at the Spencer Road Branch Library on Spencer Road.
Spencer Road in St. Peter's, Missouri. And
yes.
I'm sure you're open to visit groups. What are your favorite type of groups to speak at?
Oh, I love speaking to kids. I like speaking to adults, too, though. I really do enjoy both. But I love speaking at schools, and I like talking at libraries. And sometimes I've been invited to speak at different organizations. But any place where I can talk about if you're interested in how a book goes from when you get the idea to finally being published, I do that. Sometimes I talk about specifically about writing fiction or about writing poetry, and this is all for children. I have two collections of poetry that are published, Name That Dog and From Dawn to Dreams, and I have Toad in the Road will be published. It's still a long ways off, but it'll be closer very soon. So that is a picture book in verse. I can talk about the process of writing. I can talk about the life of an author. I can talk about, like I said, how a book goes from the basic idea to finally being a book. But kids are just so much fun. I love talking to kids. They have great questions.
So have you spoken at, like, the Y or any of those kinds of groups? Community.
I have not. Maybe I just haven't connected. I guess the Y isn't maybe a place that I would have thought of. But
yeah, I just joined the Y last week for water aerobics, and
mm-hmm.
there's so many programs that they have there, and there's so many people coming and going from that place. It's amazing. So there is a Y on Highway K in O'Fallon,
yes.
And I know there's one also in St. Peter's. Of course, they're all over the country, so that's something
mm-hmm.
if you're an author just listening into this program to check out various community-based organizations. Often they have places and opportunities to speak. And the more you can speak, whether it's an organization or a classroom or the Girl Scouts, any type of organization, just helps build your skill set and also builds your network. I know Patrice Billings, my business partner, she has been invited to speak to a lot of girls organizations like Girls Inc. and Girl Scouts and things, you know, to inspire young ladies to think of various careers for their future. So that, too, for you, Peggy, might be great to
mm-hmm.
Check out. There's an organization in St. Louis called Girls Inc., and, of course, the Boys and Girls Club. They often, Big Brothers, Big Sisters is who I was thinking of, actually, want people to share about their career because a lot of, you know, when you're in school growing up, they don't kind of give you suggestions of possible careers. And I doubt any school would ever say, hey, you might want to be a children's book author. You know, it's not anything we ever think of as a possible career. And at any rate, so we are going to be wrapping up here. We've been speaking with Peggy Archer, children's book author. She's based in Missouri. I'm sure she'd love to speak to you, speak to your writers group. She has great resources on her website, peggyarcher.com. She's got some blogs, tons of resources for writers and writers' tips. And and just all kinds of resources on her website. And she's also got a kids page. So some fun things. Do you want to just give us some little tips of things to do with the kids on Thanksgiving Day? So things to engage their mind, so they're not just sitting there watching football all day with dad or whatever. Yeah, what are some good healthy things for kids to be doing on Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. I know some people who have their own football games out in the yard and their family things. And I just think that's always fun. And I can, yeah, I have some memories of that from back when we were first married, but and since then also. But at our house, what we do is we play games. And my dad was a big Pinochle player. And our kids learned to play cards from when they were really little. And there's some stories there too, but I love doing that, playing games. Here in Missouri, it's warmer than it was in Indiana, where I grew up and where our kids grew up, and so you can get outside more. You know, I think there are some great opportunities, even if you wanted to go to some local places, you know, the zoo or the botanical gardens or Grant's Farm or places like that. I don't know if they're open right on Thanksgiving Day or not, but anything just to be more active, you know, but you can go outside and do things. Or I like the games. I like doing that kind of things. It's a good, you know, family interactions and that kind of thing. Now, at this point in my life, the grandkids love to get together and do stuff, so they make up their own
games.
And
it's great that a lot of the stores have decided to be closed, and Mall of America kind of sent a large message early on about being closed and letting workers and families be together on Thanksgiving Day. Everybody needs one day to just kind of chill out and be with family. I know on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, of course, it's going to be a big shopping day down in Historic St. Charles. We have the lighting of the Christmas tree at Frontier Park. The Carolers' Christmas Traditions kicks off. There's roasting chestnuts. All the stores will be open till 8 or 9 o'clock on Friday and Saturday night. So the Carolers stroll. There's an evening parade with Santa. They have a white horse pulling a white wagon. You can take carriage rides up and down Main Street. It's all lit with little white lights, all sparkling. Very fun. And we have Mrs. Santa Claus working with us again this year. And we'll be having a teddy bear tea party on Sunday, December 10th, I believe it is. The 11th. Sunday, December 11th from 3 to 5 p.m. And I think that's going to be at Lewis and Clark. We're just still finalizing the details. But the purpose of this party is first for people to bring teddy bears. They can be new or pre-owned. We're going to hug on them, love on them, and those teddy bears will go home with Mrs. Claus, and she will get them to nursing homes for people that are shut in at nursing homes. So we'll be collecting teddy bears. We are also going to be collecting broken jewelry for our Dream Uplifter program, and the broken jewelry can include one single earring, chain, bracelets, anything you're not wearing. It can be new or used. Please bring it, drop it off at Butterfly and Moon any day of the week, or bring it to the tea party. We will have registration on Eventbrite for the tea party. You can check our Facebook page, facebook.com/butterflyandmoon, or our website, butterflyandmoon.com. to register for the tea party. We'll be raising money for scholarships for women going back to school at St. Charles Community College. And there will be a limited attendance, maybe 16 at the most, 16 or 20. So get your reservations in for that. We did it last year at the store, and it sold out. We have Molly Neesham, our tea lady, dresses up in costume. She was just named one of the Beyond the Best award winners in St. Charles County. She will be serving tea. She has the 12 Days of Christmas tea, and there's a tea for each of the 12 Days of Christmas. And they're really cool. I know Partridge in a Pear Tree, so we have like pear tea for day one all the way up through day 12. So that's a neat little thing to be tasting, and she'll talk about tea traditions and the history of tea. So hope you can join us. I think our website may have said Saturday the 10th, but I think it's Sunday the 11th is the new date for the holiday teddy bear tea party. I'm talking too fast. Anyway, everyone have a fabulous weekend. Any closing quotes or thoughts, Peggy, as we wrap up?
I just want to say how wonderful you've been to host this, and I do so appreciate it. And I've just, you know, I've really enjoyed it. It's been great fun, and I want to thank you so much. And I just, and I love your store, so please, everybody, stop in at Butterfly and Moon.
Oh, thank you for that. And this program has been recorded. It will be available to share the same link. People can listen to it 24/7. So please help Peggy out and help yourself out, too, by just sharing the link on social media. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a nice weekend and happy Veterans Day. We're going to close with some music. And I think we're going to pick Holly Tucker's Story of My Life.
Turn the pages of the past.